Or, I'll leave it that way for right now. Or also start thinking about you meet somebody at the IGA, and God just zaps you with this overwhelming sense of, I need to invite them to revival. Now, you don't know why, but I mean, it's just, you know that's what God wants. And you know that if you don't do it, I mean, lightning's liable to strike. I mean, it's that strong of an impulse, right? I'm supposed to ask this person to revival. You don't know why, you just know that's what you're supposed to do. And you go up and you say, you probably think I'm nuts, but I would like to invite you to our revival. And they kind of give you that deer in the headlight look, like, and they said, what's a revival? And I want you to think about what your response, what would you tell them if they asked you, what's a revival? Maybe they're younger. Maybe they weren't ever raised in church. Maybe they were from somewhere else. But what would you tell them? What would you tell them a revival is? And how would you use maybe God's word to support that? So I'll give you just a couple of minutes to think that through. Not right now. I'll give everybody a couple of seconds to think about it and look up maybe a verse or two of scripture because tonight we're going to look at the when, the where, the what, the why, and the how, and the who of revival. And we're going to be done. We're going to have our prayer time early, so we have plenty of time to pray. See, I'm giving you a great blessing because I'm giving you a couple minutes to think about it. If it were to happen, you'd have to instantly be able to respond to that. Yeah, and you can't use Chronicles. You can't use Second Chronicles. Nah, I'm just teasing you. I knew. Yeah, several were because they gave me the frown like, oh, what are you doing, preacher? I don't know, is it? You're going to tell me in a minute because you're going to explain it to me.
Discussion hasn't started yet, though.
Come in, they're all working on their homework, and so you guys just stick around after class and we'll take care of it then. All right, here's what they're thinking about. You're at IGA and God impresses you, I mean really impresses you, to go up to a person and invite them to come to revival. You don't know them, you've never seen them, you don't know why. You just know if you don't, lightning's going to strike. That's how strong that impulse is. You're supposed to invite. You go up and say, look, I know this sounds crazy, but I'd like to invite you to our revival. And they look at you like deer in the headlight and say, what on earth is a revival? What are you going to tell them, and how are you going to use the Word of God to help you? Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and have our prayer. And there's a couple of things that we'll take care of real easy that you won't have to put a lot of thought into. and while you're thinking about this, that grand question. All right. Lord, thank you for tonight. We thank you that we have a nice, warm, dry place upon which to together to pray and to study your word. And we anticipate, Lord, you showing up and speaking to our hearts and kind of confirming some things that we already knew, but also, Lord, stretching us to consider different things that we haven't thought of before. So use your word, impress it upon us, and help us that it truly might be the foundation, not only of our lives, but a foundation that we could truly go out into our community and be able to better explain you and the gospel and what we're about as a church. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I said we're going to look at the when, the where, the who, the what, the why, and how of revival. And the when is pretty easy, isn't it? The when is when? Exactly when. Exactly when. So we got the days. Sunday at 11 o'clock. Sunday at 6 o'clock. Monday at? Tuesday at? Wednesday at? So we all know exactly when, right? All right. Next one is even easier than that. Where? Right here. In fact, right here. This room, this sanctuary. So now we know when it is, we know where it is. Who? All right, Bobby Floyd. Yes, he is our evangelist, our preacher, our revivalist, whatever we want to call him. He's the one coming to speak to us. So Bobby Floyd. Who else?
All of us.
Well, sure, yeah, all of us. We're all included in this, okay. Who else? We'll let Bobby's church come. Sure, they probably need reviving too. Yeah, Bobby's church. Who else? Yeah, that person from IGA. Don't forget them, by the way. The idea is kind of like, you know, God probably has some people in mind that need to be here to hear what he has placed upon Brother Bobby's heart. And so whoever they are, whether they're, quote, a member of our church or not, God's going to probably, you know, direct our lives, guide our lives, maybe in an opportunity to invite them to come. And we may not ever know why. They may already be a Christian. They may not be. We don't know, but God wants them to be here. So we've got Bobby Floyd. We've got us. We've got his church. We've got other people God wants to be here, whoever they might be. And by the way, the rest of us that is not here tonight, which is probably 3/4 of us, all right? But we believe that's basically the who. You know, this idea that we have come together for something to happen. And that's the who. Again, that's easy enough. Now we're back to the question. And you've been confronted with it. Even if you forget the guy or the lady at IJ, what is a revival? I mean, define it. What images come to your mind when you've heard the word? I mean, we've used it here the last month or so. What's revival? All right, for Trey, it's reviving the dead. It's the Lazarus story, you know. Hopefully we're not quite dead yet. Maybe we're just on life support, but okay, the idea of raising back up, all right?
It's like rekindling the fire of the church, getting the church excited and
getting the Lord. Okay, rekindling the fires, all right?
Renewal of faith,
okay. Okay, the idea of really embracing God's love and how that transforms us to care about others, okay. Really, y'all didn't think about singing and preaching when you thought of revival? I'm interested.
I think of a big tent.
Okay. I mean, all these other answers are spot on, by the way. It is, but you know, when I think revival, I often think services where they're singing and there's special music and there's a guest preacher because you can't, you know, at least that's was a part of what I thought. Now, obviously, we all go deeper, and I know that's what we wanted to do, but for our revival, I'm thinking Miss Gladys playing on the organ. I'm excited to hear what Brother Bobby's going to share after spending a little time with prayer Monday night and hearing him pour out his heart to the Lord right here on our altar ahead of time. But it is this other things. I mean, revival is just that. And yes, Mary, revival, really, you can't revive it if it's never been alive. So it is for the church without doubt. And it is all those things. For me, by the way, what are some of your verses before I give you my verses? Okay.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Okay, wow. Without doubt, at least a big part of what that is this idea that, I think Miss Gladys is telling we all got some sin to confess. Right? I mean, so I guess come Sunday morning, I can start counting, and myself included, and at least there's going to be some of us up on the altar. But if that is going to be it, if we're confessing our iniquity and wanting God to, then there's going to be some confession take place. Okay, powerful verse, absolutely. That's one way, I think, to say it's a time where revival is a time we get real serious with God about where we are in our relationship, isn't it? And there's, you know, it's awful easy to go week in, week out and really talk about everybody else that's got troubles and needs the Lord and got things going on in their life. Sometimes we forget to take that kind of probing look inside of ourselves. Okay? So, somebody else. Miss Gladys nailed one, but somebody else.
I like Romans 12, 1 and
2. Okay. And not, yes, absolutely, comparing that vertical and not. It's kind of like Peter said, we're supposed to be strangers in the world, but too often we're anything but strangers. We're pretty familiar with the world. Okay, that's again, and even that one is kind of this idea of looking at ourselves and making sure that we're on track. Somebody else. Mr. Maxey has fast-forwarded all the way to the end of my notes.
I remember in the old days, probably more people came to know the Lord during revival than any other service people in the year. So it's two. But with the notion of revival, my favorite verse is probably my most used verse, and that is 1 John 1:9, because it talks about confession.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And just forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's what revival is about to me, is to just give it all to the Lord and let Him do that. Let Him cleanse us. Then we are in a position we can serve.
Amen. All right.
Until we are cleansed, it's hard to tell somebody to go where you ain't going.
Absolutely. All right.
You know, Jesus said, come to me and thirst no more. If I come to the will of Jesus, then I won't be thirsty. But if I try to do it on my own, then I'm going to run dry.
Yeah.
And
It's about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And they'll be. But isn't that imagery of Isaiah beautiful? That God's going to send it. It's just going to replenish. It's, you know, I mean, and how everything springs to life when it's been real dry, and all of a sudden you get a rain and the grass gets green again, and think how it just begins to come back to life. Okay, yeah. Anybody else want to share theirs? Yep.
Because if believers are really getting right with the Lord and getting on fire for the Lord, they were going to be out there witnessing for the Lord.
The question is, how do we get that to really happen? You keep saying really happen. How does it really happen, though?
Revival. Real revival.
What is real revival? That's what you got to explain to that guy, the IGA.
I'll tell you to come and find out.
Okay. Well, you know, come and see is kind of a Jesus invitation, by the way. But we'll let you skate on that one because you can't go wrong with quoting Jesus. So we'll let you go on that one. It is all of these things, isn't it? And for me, you know, a couple that came up that really plug into this is what y'all been talking about, this idea of. Never lose your zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord out of Romans. This idea that I need to keep my intensity up. And for me, revival, I hope, does that. Is it fans into flame, as Paul said to Timothy. Fan into flame, again, that gift that God has given you. And why do you fan it back into flame? Because the flame is dwindling down, and all of a sudden, it needs another log placed on the fire. All right, so it's all of these things. How many, honestly, was thinking, as when we were talking about revival, was thinking that these things are going to happen in you? Before we started talking tonight, we've been talking about revival. How many of us really thought, man, I can't wait for revival because God's going to show me some sin and I'm going to get to confess it, and that's going to be good because God's going to forgive me and he's going to create a pure heart within me and he's going to realign my vision so that it's not so horizontal. But, I mean, how many of us really, really thought of any of that stuff? You are in church, by the way. It is those things. But are we approaching it with that kind of anticipation? Or is it, you know, it's time for spring revival again? I sure hope the board of stewards don't drop the ball and get us somebody that's not going to do a very good job for us. I'm going to have to come, but so I hope at least they're good. Now, that might be a little bit of a stretch, but have we really been thinking, wow. Well, what we're really saying is we're going to have an Isaiah moment, right, where he steps into the presence of God and he says, oh, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm unclean and I'm a bunch of unclean folks all around me and I'm in trouble because God is a holy, righteous and God. And of course, God took the tongs from off the altar and touched his lips and said, oh, okay, it's okay, I'll clean you up. Were we really thinking that? See, sometimes we roll right into these things and roll right on the other side of them without coming face to face with what true revival is. And I think Mr. Maxey, like I say, he fast-forwarded to the very end of my notes, and Dr. Blank dovetailed it in by saying, boy, when the church gets revived, things start really happening. And I absolutely believe that with all that is within me. But I also know that all that good stuff isn't going to really happen if we don't get honest with the Lord. Absolutely. And when we love the way Jesus wants us to love, it is not only contagious, it's visible. All right, so that's what it is. I mean, you defined it. It is a time where we're going to each probe deep into our own relationship and see maybe some rough edges, and well, we know what to do because y'all kept repeating it every time you read a verse to us about how it's about confessing it and getting rid of it and letting God open our, move us in the right direction. That's what revival is. That's what you defined it as, and I think that's a great way to look at it. So that's taking care of the when, and we know where, and we know who, and now we know what it is. Why do we need it? Why do we have a spring revival? Let's not go great depths of theology here and why does the Turbyville Southern Methodist, why do we have a spring revival? Okay, I think Dr. Blank probably nailed it for us right out of the, because we always do. Now, there's probably a whole lot of other things out there that hopefully play into it, and at least at some point played into it, and maybe we'll play into it again, but at the end of the day, when it rolls around and we're doing this, do we really stop and think, again, that, hey, this is an opportunity where we're going to have to really make a significant growth in our own personal life? I mean, because that's what we're talking about in revival. We're going to, if we're fanning in flame, if we're increasing that intensity, if we're confessing that sin, I mean, that's a significant moment that we're going to grow. Because if you confess it and God forgives it, something happens really dramatically, radically with inside of us. And so, you know, hopefully that's why, but I'm afraid it's more, well, it's March and April again. We always have revival in March and April. It's what we do. Why have revival? Why have five services, by the way? Why are we having five services? Because, you know, there's all kinds of numbers out there. I've been in revivals that were 3 days long. I've been in revivals that were 14 days long. All right? And I don't even know why 14 was the magical number. You know, 40 is a great number in the Bible, by the way. I don't know if too many revivals go 40 days, but 40 is a pretty prominent number. And 12 is a good number. 12 disciples, you know, 12 tribes. Why five?
The number of man.
No, I'm not going to buy that one. You can't have that one. Why five? Huh? I think you all do know. If I am not mistaken, and if I am, I'm sure there's plenty of folks that'll correct me. If I'm not mistaken, someone said it used to be a week long revival, and nobody came, so we went and we hacked off a couple of days. That's the way it was explained to me. Now maybe who explained it really didn't do it justice, but that's what they said. So it used to be a week, but nobody came, and so we started Sunday morning. We decided to end on Wednesday. Hmm? That's not what happened here? Okay. Then that person misrepresented. Why do we only do 5 days, Mr. Don?
Very often.
Huh?
That person didn't come very often.
Why do we do 5 days? I'm curious.
It was because of some that expressed that.
Mm-hmm.
Those people who were praying, just like when we did the community revival.
Mm-hmm.
That was 10.
Mm-hmm. And why don't we do community revivals?
Because of a small group of people that were burdened for
us. Not why did we do it, but why don't we have them now?
Well, because we haven't had a concerted effort to do it. It still happens from other places.
No interest. No interest in our community. I mean, really, that's the bottom line. And if the community really wanted it, we'd do it.
Yeah.
Why did we go from 7 days a week to week? Why are we now at 5 days? I mean, I'm just asking why. A special deal, okay. Okay. Why Bobby Floyd? Why Bobby Floyd?
Well, if many people have heard Bobby preach, you'd understand.
And I'm just asking. I mean, the stewards brought it up. Why Bobby Floyd? I mean, I think that's a legitimate. I'm not being facetious here. Why him? I'd like to think that the others we've had at least the last few years all preached the word.
And I think the men we had in the past were men for that hour. I think we need to realize that we're really praying about it, that the Lord does give the direction toward the man. And I believe those who've been praying, Lord, not just a week before the revival time or 2 months, but that, Lord, lay it on our hearts as to who will be your man for this hour, for this time.
Absolutely. It's not. It was not a trick question.
It's
an idea that God has somebody very specific for us for this moment in our time right now. It wasn't just like, oh, hey, I saw him preach on FTC, and I think he done a pretty good job. Let's see what's going on here. Let's say this. Let's believe that more went into it than that. Let's believe that before the stewards, even whoever put forth the name, had spent time in prayer seeking the guidance from the Lord, and that name came up. Let's believe that when the stewards cast their vote, they cast it with great prayer, saying, we believe this is God's anointed man for this year for our church. That's the why, I hope. Right? I mean, again, not trick question, just asking why. Why do we need revival? Again, not a trick question. You know, we need revival because, like Ms. Frankie said, we let all kinds of stuff get us focused this way, and we take our eyes off there. We know why we need it, because Miss Gladys nailed us with that psalm that said basically we got sin in our life and it's no good, and we need to do some confessing and be brought into a special environment where we get rid of it. We know why we need it. We need it because if we just go about our lives day in, day out on a normal routine, we begin, unfortunately at times, to let our fire begin to die down. We shouldn't, and I don't know why I do. I just know that I'm guilty of it. Now, we know revival is supposed to do something about it, but the truth is many times we come to these revivals, and even though it should be a very powerful personal moment with the Lord and coming together, many times we just kind of go through the service and nothing happens. You know, I may be wondering, I can't believe Dr. Blank's not up there confessing tonight. All right, you know, and he's looking at, I can't believe the preacher hadn't been on that altar from before we said amen, you know, because he needs it, you know. We're always thinking about somebody else, but in reality, for it to begin, it begins when you look in the mirror.
I think a challenging question that was when the disciples, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, they didn't start saying, who is it in here? Is it that other guy? They said, Lord, is it I?
Is it me? And it's, yeah, it is. But you know what? The majority of revivals I've been a part of, that really hasn't happened much in me. I'm just saying too many times I've gone, even as a pastor, thinking I got all these responsibility and working, trying to make sure the services flow and all this, and never really taking time to take that deep look. Now, maybe it's just me. Maybe the rest of you do it every year. I don't know. I know I don't. I know the Lord kind of slapped me around the last couple of weeks and said, you know, if you're going to have revival, then you start looking in your own heart. So, is it important? Is revival important? You agree with that? It's important. Because I've got some more why questions, how do we judge or identify when something is important in our life? Yeah, I'm setting you up, so just know it up front. I'm gonna ask a bunch of questions here in a minute, but I'm setting you up. So just if something is important to you, how do you show that it's important? Do what? Your time. I heard money. I heard okay. Yeah. Some of these things, it's, you know, because I don't know about you, but my schedule gets pretty full. My calendar has a lot of, my calendar's always going off, reminding me I got something else going on, okay? So time is one of the ways. So if it's important, is it important enough to skip a TV program that's going to be on Tuesday night? Is it?
What's on Tuesday night?
I don't know. All right. Sunday night, whatever night, it's something on you want to see. Is it important enough to say, and your DVR is broken, by the way. Let me clarify this. Your DVR is broken, so you're not going to get to see it. If you don't stay home and watch it, you don't get to see it.
DVR and the internet's broken.
And the internet's broken. It is a one-time only showing. They're going to show it one time in this, and then they're going to destroy the file, okay? So you don't watch it that time, it's gone. Is it that important? Is it important enough to miss a sporting activity? Okay. Is it important enough to take time off work to be here? And before, for all you people say, you know, it's a great thing. I'm off on Sundays and I never have to work evenings. If it's so important that other people take off, is it important enough to you to put in the offering plate what they're giving up by taking off? I'm just asking. Is it important enough to truly make a commitment to say, I'm going to be at every service unless I'm sick or provincially inhibited? Is it important enough to invite that person from IGA? Is it important enough that you are going to do whatever it is you do to remind yourself that come 12 noon from every day until now, until the end of revival, at 12 o'clock, I don't care where you are, what you're doing, you're going to take at least 2, 3, or 5 minutes to stop and pray for yourself and for Brother Bobby and for the revival? Is it that important? However it is you make your reminder, if it's that important to you, for me, yeah. I have that little thing that goes off, ding, 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 it's noon, because otherwise I can get busy and forget. That's me. You may have a whole other procedure. But if it's really important, see, if it's really important, you see it by the way you plug into it. And the truth is, we can talk tonight how important it is, but our talk won't show whether it's important. All I really got to do, you know, we just simply have to watch what we do. Is it important enough that we are going to, you know, take that inner reflection and confess? Well, why do we have a revival? I think because we need it, somebody said very early on. We need it. Now, there's a lot of ways to get revived, by the way. Holding revival services is really something relatively new in Christianity. I mean, it's only been, you know, 300 or 400 years old that churches have, quote, revival services. So the church existed for 1,500 years or so and never had one of these things. So there's a lot of ways to get revived. Some people do it by going on retreats. Some people do it by, you know, going to taking a sabbatical for 3 or 4 days and getting away from everything. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get revived. Understand, this is just a tool. And it's not, there is nothing sacred about it. You cannot find the 13th commandment that says, thou shalt have a spring revival. You can't find it in the Bible. Now, you can fan it into flame. You can find all kinds of, you need to get honest with the Lord. You can do all that stuff. That's in there. But just holding revival services in and of itself, that's not in there. It's just a tool. All right? And a tool is only as good as the person using it. Is it important enough that we're really going to go out of our way to even invite those, that 75% that isn't here tonight, to encourage them to come? Because we all know, I mean, look, been at this game a long time. Sunday morning will be full. Sunday night will be down. Monday night, we'll, but we'll still only have at best about 50% of what we'll normally have on Sunday morning here. Is it important enough to encourage people to try to come out more than they normally would? I don't know. How do we do this thing? And we've really hit on this in a lot of ways already, so I'll wrap it up pretty quick. How we have revival is a whole lot more than simply flipping the light switch on, unlocking the door, and saying, hey, we're having revival. True revival is when God breaks into our lives and gives us a glimpse of himself. Now, it's absolutely true that God can do that in a lot of unexpected ways outside of, quote, a structured set of services. Just ask Moses. He's taking care of sheep, and all of a sudden he's on holy ground. Read about Jacob and his ladder. He's on the run because Esau, his brother, is out to get him and kill him, and he's on the run, and he's so tired he takes a rock for a pillow, and I'm thinking that's pretty tired, and he falls asleep, but then he has this dream about this ladder that reaches from heaven to the earth, and there's angels ascending and descending, and when he wakes up, he says, surely the Lord was in this place, and I was unaware of it. So God can break into our lives, okay? In a lot of different places, in a lot of different ways. But it's also true that there's something very powerful and unique when God's people choose to come together to form a collective body and lay their lives open before God together. Something very special happens. And it is part of the reason why God allows the church to exist. All right? Something happens together we can't get by ourselves. The how is that when we in humbleness, I mean, just reflect on these words just a little bit. It said God opposes the proud, okay? So he's against the proud. He gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he'll lift you up. In humbleness. And humbleness is nothing more than knowing how much we need God. We can't do it. We need God. True humbleness just says, you know, if God isn't a part of this, then that's humbleness. I can't do it by myself. In humbleness, when we open our hearts up to God and to God's leading, then the grace begins to flow. Right? It's what Peter said. God opposes the proud. He's going to stand against people that are proud. And he didn't say, didn't say the unsaved. He said opposes the proud. So if if you're proud, God's against you. But gives grace to the humble. So you humble yourselves and God will pick you up. So we lay our lives open before him. We confess. We let him realign. That grace begins to flow. And when that grace begins to flow, I believe there is an air of not only seriousness that begins to happen, but there's also an air of great anticipation and excitement. Okay? Because when God starts working, you get, you know, it's called the Holy Spirit bumps or goosebumps, you know, the Holy Spirit. But you know, that idea that all of a sudden, wow. Have you ever felt it here? Where all of a sudden you knew you were on holy ground? It's like, wow. Lord's really here. All right? When we get in that we get excited about the Lord. And out of that excitement, that is where I believe that evangelism is an outflow of revival, where we started. Because you get excited about your relationship with the Lord. I mean, genuinely get excited about you. You know, go grab a stranger and say, you know, the Lord forgave me. He's forgiven me. You know, you get excited. People are going to notice. They may think you're a little wacky, but they're going to notice. And the truth is, they'll be drawn to it. And so that is why I believe that in years past, church got real serious with the Lord about themselves and who they were. And all of a sudden, a lot of people were coming to see what on earth was taking place at that. And when they heard the word, guess what happened? They got convicted and And it became, you know, it became a very evangelistic moment as well. And I think oftentimes that is the flow. As the church gets excited and revived, outreach very naturally happens. And there is no secret formula except humble yourselves before the Lord and he'll lift you up. That's how. That's how. All right, any other thoughts? Revival is going to so quickly be upon us. I really am serious about praying, by the way. If you need to write that down now, I'll give you time to write it down. I'm asking the church for those that are committed to it at noon. I mean, unless you're standing on the edge of a cliff looking down, you know, stop and pray. Maybe better yet, set your little reminder to go off 10 minutes early so that you can be sure in 10 minutes to have something done so that you can pray. If you need to, tell your boss you got to go to the bathroom or something. Pray in the bathroom. Do what you got to do. Pray. Pray. I don't care how you do it. Just find it. Pray. If you're driving, leave your eyes open. It'll be all right. The Lord won't care, but pray. And start out. You know, if you didn't make a mental note of some of these passages shared, that might be just a good way to get you into your prayer, to reread Psalm 51, to reread Romans 12, 1 and 2, to reread 1 John 1 and 9, Romans 12 and 11. Okay? Get yourself in there and let the Lord speak to you. And just see where it goes. All right. Brother Bobby was here Monday night. We had several of us gathered to pray with him. And I said, Brother Bobby, how can we pray for you very specifically? It's coming quick. And I said, we've been praying for it. He said, and it fits right into tonight. In fact, this is the genesis of this whole thing. He said, just pray that my heart will be open to God's leading. I thought, wow, that encapsulizes everything that revival is and supposed to be. Pray that my heart will be open to God's leading. That, by the way, is something we need to pray every time we call his name out between now and the end of next week. All right? So that's how we pray for him. I might be able to identify some of the things you need to pray for yourself, but I'm not. I'm going to resist that temptation. You know what you need. Thank you for Mark laughing. By the way, Mark got my little ditty on Sunday morning. I don't know if anybody else did, but he laughed. Thank you for catching that, Mark. I try to put something in every week. Mark got it, and then Laura got it as well. But it's always something in the slideshow that I consider kind of humorous, and Mark got it. I appreciate that. Anyway. Find time, let God speak to your life, what you need to do, and he'll lead you to what to do. Same thing, let's pray that our hearts will be open to God's leading. Not only for Brother Bobby, but for all of us. All right. So when you pray in your groups tonight, those two things need to be a prominent part of your prayer. I know we often get a lot of requests, and we'll go through a couple of these, and please remember them. A man by the name of Jesse, which is a longtime worker for Trey's father, had a very serious stroke yesterday, has gone downhill even today, he just needs your prayers. Okay, he is in Colombia. And it does not look good. But his name is actually Jesus, but, you know, I think they call him, I guess he calls himself Jesse. Mr. Jim is home, trying to get some strength back, I believe, because he'll still have a visit to the cardiologist at some point in the future, I think, is what they were saying. Is that true? That's what he plans. Okay. All right. I think I heard that. So, but we need to pray for Mr. Jim and Miss Felicia, obviously. He really does need to get some strength back and an appetite back a little bit. He just has not been eating. And all that just complicates whatever all everything else that's going on. So please remember Mr. Jim, Miss Felicia. I have one unspoken that came across my path today, a very serious one, in need of some direction. So please remember that unspoken, and the second unspoken has been around for a little while. So I have two unspoken. I'm sure there's probably a host of others. So as you call out the unspoken request before the Lord, you know, he knows it's not just these two, that it's probably a bunch of them. All right, anything or anyone or anything special you want us to pray for tonight? All right, Tammy and Vinny. All right. Julia Fulmer. Fulmer. Sorry about that. Any different prognosis? Or, I mean, she's still in treatments at this point. I mean, what are they? I know they took pictures. For those of you, was it a Sunday night? When was it we posed for the picture? Wednesday night. Okay, we posed for the picture to try to brighten her day a little bit. And so, anyway. And several, as I understand it, as it was explained at League, there's a lot of different groups and churches doing that very thing. So keep the family in your prayers, and Julia, obviously. Yeah. Teen Girls Retreat. And remember the girls that are going to be there, the workers and the speaker. I hear the speaker has both barrels loaded already, is what I've heard. So, and exciting times going to be happening out the camp. Okay. Charlie Burns. All right. Mr. Don, I saw your hand. Right. Right. Very, very difficult situation. Absolutely. Very beside themselves, I'm sure. All right, Miss Los Angeles, Katie. Anybody else?
I had a cousin that passed away, Christy Weaver, this morning.
Ah, okay.
Living with my two brothers, one of which is on my Bible list. It's a church home, and I'm not sure whether he's saved or not.
Okay. All right. Absolutely need to be praying for him. All right, let's gather up in groups of four tonight. And yes, Eddie.